Porch Talk is made possible in part by a generous donation from Mary Washington Healthcare. When the unexpected happens and you need immediate access to medical services, the skilled healthcare team at the new Mary Washington Urgent Care is there for you. They provide care for minor illnesses and injuries that don't require ER visits, from flu to fever and from sprain to strain, all with the same care you'd expect from Mary Washington Healthcare. Now open in King George at 11131 Journal Parkway or visit urgent.mwhc.com. Porch Talk is also made possible by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership. Welcome to another edition of WWER's Porch Talk. My name is Ted Tate, and with me today in our studio, rather than on the porch, even though it's a gorgeous day outside, is Mike Fitzpatrick. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Ted. Nice to be here today.
Yeah, I'm sorry we're not outside, but it's a little easier to do this in the studio with all the COVID stuff going on and everything. I don't have a full studio set up out on my porch, and we'd have to sit too far apart to really get a good recording. So we're sitting far apart in the studio, and we're going to have a little chat. So, Mike, the first thing I ask just about everybody on Porch Talk is how did you come to be in Colonial Beach? How did you find it? How did you get here?
Sure. So it's a little bit of a story. So I'll maybe start back in the mid-1990s. My wife and I had decided that we were going to purchase a bed and breakfast, and we knew that we wanted to be in a waterfront town along the Chesapeake Bay area somewhere. So we actually spent a couple of years traveling on weekends up and down various rivers and up and down both sides of the Chesapeake Bay, staying in bed and breakfast, talking to owners. And, after a couple year search, lo and behold, some good friends of ours said, you should look at Colonial Beach. My parents have a house down there in Colonial Beach. And so we came down, spent a weekend, and fell in love with it. And as they kind of say, the rest is history. So we got hooked up with a realtor down here, and she showed us quite a number of properties that could potentially be bed and breakfast. And we ended up taking a look at 21 Weem Street, which we affectionately know as the Plaza Bed and Breakfast. And it's a little bit funny. We went in, and it was certainly had all of the space, but it was in really rough shape. It had two original old bathrooms in it, the original kitchen from probably sometime in the 1920s, and it was in quite a state of disrepair. And at the end of our walkthrough, I said to my wife, "This is the one." And my wife Joan said, "You're kidding, right?" And I said, "No, I really think we can do it. I think this has all the potential that we're looking for to be able to, turn the house into what we want it to be. And the location is great. And we already knew that we loved Colonial Beach." So from that, we kind of put a contract on the house in late 1996, and in January of 1997, purchased it, and then moved down here a while later and started our extensive renovating of the property.
So you saw past the blemishes and the missing bits of this house, and you had a vision.
Definitely had a vision, and one of the things I'd always wanted to do was redo an old Victorian and bring it back to life. And so we actually spent the better part of 3 years adding bathrooms. We had to completely replace the center beams of the house underneath. There was no central heat and air conditioning in the house, so we had to add central heat and air. We ended up putting six bathrooms in the main house there, redoing the carriage house out back and turning that into a nice little, apartment, put a swimming pool in, put a full commercial health department licensed kitchen into the building as well. So it was a major renovation, and we put some additions on as well.
How long did that whole process take you?
We opened the Plaza for business officially as the part of the very first historic homes tour for Christmas time of 2000. So December of 2000, we were on the first house tour for the Christmas season. And that was our grand opening and announcement of the plaza.
So that's about 3 years.
It took 3 years to do what we wanted to do.
Yeah. And had you done anything along these lines before? You said you always wanted to do a big renovation. Did you have the experience necessary?
I did not. I have always custom built new homes. And so this was our first go at buying a 100-year-old house. And we learned a lot. I mean, you do learn a lot. And I think renovating is a lot more challenging than new construction in many ways, because you don't know what's behind those walls till you start tearing them out. And, you know, it was all old galvanized pipes in there that all had to be completely replaced, all the electrical system in the entire house. You know, we had good old Mr. Hall, you know, come in there and put in a whole new dedicated panel box to accommodate all the additions that we were putting on there. You know, each of the bedrooms had one plug, in them.
And not grounded.
Yeah, non-grounded plugs. So, you know, really putting the whole wiring, central heat and air and all that stuff into it was quite an endeavor, but it was fun. We had a great time doing it.
Did you do any of the work yourself?
Not really. Cosmetic stuff. But, as I'm sure we'll probably talk about, I also have a full-time job that was not the B&B. My wife really ran the B&B. So I was on the road a lot. So I really could not assume responsibility for doing the work.
And taking on a B&B is a big job and a really kind of a 24/7 job. So was this your wife's idea that she said, I want to do this?
It was joint. Before we moved here, we actually lived in Frederick, Maryland, and we bought the house kind of in the beginning thinking that it might be a second house for a while and we'd kind of slowly, you know, renovate it over years and whatnot. But as it turned out, we fell in love more and more with the beach, and with the job that I had, it didn't really matter where I lived. And so I said, let's move to Colonial Beach. Let's make this our full-time place. And she had run a catering business in Frederick, Maryland before we moved down here. So she had all of the, you know, cooking experience and entertaining and all the health department, you know, qualifications and everything to put a commercial kitchen in the plaza and get up and going. So it was definitely a joint operation between the two of us.
To some degree, she knew what she was getting into.
She did. I think probably like her first reaction is, you're kidding when I said that this is the house. You know, there was some moments along the way that I'm sure were challenging.
For both of you, I would expect. Yeah. But you, while all this was going on, you were still working full time and I guess traveling a lot in your job?
I did. I'm have been in a vice president of global commercial operations for biotech companies based in Boston and in California, predominantly in the Bay Area. And I was on the road nearly every week for the past 15 years. At that point, it wasn't as much. I was maybe traveling 1 or 2 weeks per month when we first moved down here. So it was, you know, Dulles Airport on Monday morning at dark 30 and back home late on Friday night or Saturday morning. And then
Your wife unloads all the things that happened that week.
The honey-do list, yeah. And I arrive home at, you know, at say 11 o'clock on Friday night, and we have a house full of people, right? Because we were living in the house as well. So, you know, it was okay, up at 5:30 in the morning, getting breakfast going, getting the coffee on, entertaining people, you know.
And guess what? Saturdays. I've been doing it all week, honey. You get to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, it was my turn. So that was kind of what it was like. And then it was back up at 4 o'clock in the morning, back to Dulles Airport on Monday. So we did that for 20 years, actually. So, or near 18 years, from 2000 until 2018 when we sold it.
Wow. That'll age you a few years.
it was. I can't complain though. I had a great job, and we loved the B&B and entertaining. We've met some just amazing people that have become lifelong friends that were guests there that ended up purchasing houses down here in Colonial Beach after, you know, coming back several times. So it's been really, really fun seeing that.
Wow. So actually you came here and fell in love with it. But what's interesting is now you probably know lots of people who came here and fell in love with it much as you did. That's you know, when I do these Porch Talk shows on 88.1, I always like to ask how people found the place. And there are so many times where people say, oh, yeah, we came down for the weekend and bought a house that weekend or a month later or whatever. There's something about the town that does that. Obviously, you got to see some of those firsthand. That's exciting.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times we would have people that came back. We had some, what we called them, our frequent stayers that would come sometimes multiple weekends during the summer and year after year. And oftentimes by the second or third year of coming down here, they got the bug and started, you know, working with a realtor and ended up buying their own place down here. I remember one of our very best customers or guests, you know, she said, I have some really good news and some bad news. She goes, the good news is I'm going to be seeing a whole lot more of you. The bad news is I'm not going to be staying with you anymore because I bought my own place down here. But, you know, it's wonderful when that happens. So
lose a customer, gain a neighbor.
Exactly.
And over the years, I guess you expanded the plaza as well, because weren't there other houses that were sort of part of what you were renting out?
Yeah, there's probably, I'd say, two parts to it. One, we put a really large addition on the side of the plaza there that went out to the pool area. And so that was an extensive addition, and it ended up enabling us to make a beautiful master suite upstairs too, and put a, you know, really nice bathroom and stuff by expanding out the side there. We also took over if you're facing the house, the left side of it, we took over that side porch that was along Lossing there and expanded those bedrooms again so they could each have private baths in them. But then in addition to that, in fact, while we were going through some of the renovations in the late 90s there, the house behind us was a rental and it had been foreclosed on and went up for auction. And so even though we weren't looking to buy another house, it was like, okay, one of these things it was too good to let go of. So Joan went down to the courthouse because I was traveling and bid on it and ended up winning the house behind us. So
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was too good to refuse. Mm-hmm. Right. So we ended up having a nice, you know, 3-bedroom, 2-bath cottage, you know, in the adjoining property right behind us, and a large garage that helped us with laundry facilities and things like that back there. So it ended up being really good. And then we bought several other cottages kind of along the way. We bought that big house at 21 Madison Street, that big gray house that's in the first block there.
That's a big house all by itself.
It is a big house. And we actually moved over there for a while and used our bedroom for the plaza, you know, guests, because our business was expanding. And we also bought the house at, I think it was 219 Boundary Street, called the Yellow Door Cottage.
Oh yeah.
So we owned the Yellow Door Cottage for quite a while too. Yep. So we did expand our you know, kind of rental capabilities there.
And you did that for 18 years overall. Mm-hmm. And then did you sell all of them together? No, I guess you didn't sell them all together as the plaza. You sold them piecemeal, didn't you?
We sold the Yellow Door Cottage and the Madison Street house a few years back. And then we sold the plaza and the cottage behind it on Lossing there as one complete unit.
And that is what, I guess, remains today as the plaza.
Yeah, David and Misan are, you know, came and fell in love with it. I think when they walked through the door there, they had dreams of opening a B&B, and they lived over in La Plata, and they came in and loved it. They came back several times. Then they came and spent a weekend with us to kind of get a feel for, you know, what it was like in the B&B and whatnot. And then they ended up purchasing it basically lock, stock, and barrel. So all the furniture, sheets, towels, pots, pans, literally turnkey. They had guests coming the next week.
Did they know what they were getting into?
Well, you'd have to ask them that, but I think so. They seem to be doing just fantastic. I mean, we still see them, you know, often and stay in touch with them. And I think they're doing really, really well with the house.
Good. And that left you, well, would have left you homeless, except you built yourself a new place.
We did. We actually lived in a little cottage at Lossing there that the Catholic Church owns for a year while we were building.
Oh, really?
That, you know, right at the corner of Boundary and Lossing, down there across from the church.
How does that work? The church owns a lot of properties, actually, here in town.
They own that corner there, you know.
And several houses Lossing. Down Lossing.
Yeah.
They've got like two or three going down Lossing. Now, do they just rent those out to make
money?
They
just rent those out, yeah. They have some restrictions on them in terms of who rents them and whatnot that kind of abide by Christian upbringing and whatnot. So they're... But anyway, they
no big parties.
No, yeah, they're kind of careful about that. So we actually lived in one of those for a whole year while our house on Monroe Bay Avenue was being built.
And you built that from scratch. I guess you helped design it to your specifications.
We engaged an architect and designed it from the ground up, exactly what we wanted. And we had some very specific things in mind that needed to be features of that house. And so it wasn't kind of a cookie cutter design house that you could just put up. We needed to actually.
So you had Mike Brady do it for you.
Mike Gray, yeah. Mike Gray just, he was fantastic.
I was making a Brady Bunch reference.
Oh, Mike Brady, I see. Oh, Brady Bunch, yeah. Got it.
Okay. I didn't realize your architect's name was Mike anyway.
Yeah.
So what sort of, was there anything quirky that you really wanted that you know, wasn't common in a house?
Couple of things. So we have a large family. We have four daughters and we have seven grandchildren, all relatively local to us here. You know, in fact, four of the grandchildren are in the local school, you know, in Colonial Beach school system here. Mm. My daughter's a teacher there. But we have them over very traditionally for Sunday dinner, like not every single week, but probably two or three weeks a month, the whole family comes for dinner. So one of the things, and we had the luxury of that at the Plaza, was we had a huge table that could accommodate everybody. So one of the things that we needed for to have in this house was an even bigger table. We designed it so we could sit 18 of us down very comfortably. Wow. At one single table. So
it is the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, expanded. And we also, my wife and I love to cook, and we had gotten spoiled having that commercial kitchen at the Plaza to cook on. So we actually put in a really wonderful, you know, kitchen with, you know, Wolf appliances and Sub-Zero refrigerator.
Oh my.
And really, really nice, you know, things that enable us to be able to easily cook for the crowd.
Wow. That's amazing. Around this time that you sold the Plaza and built this great new house and all of that, that's also when you retired from your job, so that you and your wife were both sort of retiring at the same time?
I was actually planning for my retirement. So I'm a real goal setter and a planner. And so I'm always trying to think, you know, a year or two or five ahead. And so when we knew it was going to take a while probably to sell the Plaza. So we had begun, we purchased the lot several years before where we wanted to build the house. And we had been working on designs and you know, kind of doing all the groundwork there. Then when the Plaza sold is when we moved into that cottage. But I was still working full time at that point. Oh, I didn't retire until April 3rd of this year. So I've only been retired 6 weeks.
Oh, my. Okay.
So we were kind of planning ahead with that house for the day that I would retire. And so we've been in there for, it'll be 2 years this July that we moved in there. So I was still working full time for a while.
And if you've only literally just retired, and you're sitting at home probably isolating because of COVID, how are you finding that?
Yeah, it was an interesting time to retire. I had just come back from 2 weeks in Europe. Right when this was happening. And in fact, while I was in Europe is when they announced that big outbreak had occurred in northern Italy. Oh. And I actually was traveling with people who had just been skiing exactly there for the second week that I was.
Pardon me while I step
back. Yeah,
I know.
You want to put
feet.
Your mask on now. but, you know, obviously that was a while back. That was late February.
Yeah.
And so, honestly, since that time, I was supposed to go to Japan. I was scheduled to have a trip the last 2 weeks of March in Japan and then stop in San Francisco on my way back. And that was going to be my exit, you know, from the company that I work for, was kind of the Japan report out on everything. And then I was planning to then retire the next week. But none of that Japan trip or, you know, the final hurrah in California happened.
That could have been a permanent exit.
Yeah, it could have been.
So you retired a little early, or
no? It was right on schedule. I had scheduled it for Friday, April 3rd was going to be my last day. It was the 7-year anniversary of when I joined this this last company. And we had taken the company public last June. And so we were in kind of a pivot time in terms of really dramatically expanding the company. And so there was a lot that was going to happen and change. I really love doing startup companies and building things from scratch. And so this was at the inflection point. It had been a hugely successful IPO, and that enabled me to go ahead and kind of move forward with my retirement.
But you wanted to get out before it got even busier. So any plans for retirement? What are you going to do to keep yourself busy? It sounds like you don't sit idle for long.
Well, there's a couple things. My wife and I love to travel. You'd think I might have had enough travel. I have almost 3 million miles on United Airlines that I have flown, and I've stayed the equivalent of 3 years in just Marriott hotels. And so
you're Uber, Diamond, Platinum, whatever, Black
exactly.
Card.
Exactly. But I love traveling, and my wife and I have some, you know, there's places that we haven't been yet, like Antarctica and some of the Southeast Asia, you know, areas to go to that, and you know, some other kind of exotic places that are on our bucket list to do. So traveling is one thing,
but not anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, that kind of put a damper on things. And so one of the things that I've also been saying since we moved to Colonial Beach is that I want to be the mayor of Colonial Beach. And this seemed like actually a perfect time with my retirement. When Eddie Blunt said that he wasn't going to seek re-election as mayor, it opened up an opportunity there. And I decided that I was going to put my hat in the ring here. And I have the time now, since I'm not traveling, to be able to devote to the town. My wife and I were very involved during our early years with the Plaza and whatnot before I started my travel regime for, you know, the last 15 years. And I was chairman of the Planning Commission for a couple of years, and on the Planning Commission during the time when we were building the condos down on the boardwalk and that townhouse development across from Food Lion. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of planning and discussion going on with a developer for a golf course there, kind of across the street from Wilkerson's, that would run on that track of land. So I was involved in the Planning Commission heavily during those times, and I really enjoyed it a lot. But then I got promoted and was on the road, and I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't be here for meetings and whatnot. So I had to, unfortunately, step away. But now that I'm back, I'm dying to get back involved in town politics here again a bit.
And why mayor? You very specifically said, you know, I want to be the mayor.
Well, I think with my background, my business background, I've managed large teams of people, you know, like 1,000 people with expense, you know, planning budgets of over $30 or $40 million a year. I've been responsible for up to $2 billion of revenue for one of the companies that I spent 20 years with. And I think from that, I've really learned an awful lot about the planning process, the goal setting, the team building, and the execution of strategic plans. And I feel like I'm actually in a really great position, having lived in Colonial Beach for 23 years, been a business owner here, and with my, you know, prior experience on the Planning Commission, as well as my business skills that I bring to the table, I felt like I've got something that I can really contribute.
Wow. Well, that's great. I am running out of time a little bit, so I'll give you a chance to add anything else you want. I know the conversation kind of wanders here on Porch Talk, so if there's anything else you want to add to the things you've said or something I haven't asked you, here's your chance.
Okay. Well, I think, honestly, we've covered a lot of ground here personally about me, which is great. I appreciate the opportunity to do that, Ted. I guess for those people that might be listening remotely to this, I would say, if you haven't checked out Colonial Beach, come by and check us out, because we are just an incredible town that has so much to offer. And I think you too will fall in love with what the town is all about.
The internet is an amazing thing. And we do have some people listening from some pretty far away places I've found, which is pretty neat. Mike Fitzpatrick, thank you for coming to Porch Talk on WWER. Thank you very much for entertaining us with your stories.
My pleasure. Thank you, Ted.